Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Ghost Nobody here, ready to bring you chapter 150 of Radiance, my original Fallout fan fiction. As always, if you can like, share, and subscribe to this wherever you can, and leave feedback at the sites via fanfiction.net, archiveofourown.org, or even at my own website, ghostnobody.com. I always enjoy reading your comments and seeing what you're thinking. And, you know, if you've got any ideas, you're always free to leave them on my Discord or on these sites. And, you know, if I like the ideas, I might pick them up and use them. You never know. But if you do pop over to ghostnobody.com, why don't you check out Stormrider? You know, if big surly dragon-esque girls, orcs and elves, magical realms, and human mages are your sort of thing, check it out. You might enjoy it. And also, while you're there, why not pop over to the Ghostly Link section? Check out Mortis, my original novel, for sale on both Smashwords and on Amazon. Pick it up. Help support me and keep me doing what I love, bringing unlikely alien romance stories to you good people. So, without any further ado then, let's get on with the show, shall we? But first, the usual legal disclaimer. I don't own Fallout or anything to do with it, that's all Bethesda. I just keep Crazy Tales happy. Let's get on with the show. Chapter 150. Bug Hunt. Vizzy paced around the shared kitchen frantically, taking her all day to gather all the ingredients to make herself and David dinner. But so far, there was no sign of the pretty human boy, and it was making her wings buzz with anxiety. A million questions pulsed through her mind like a maelstrom of buzzing wings. Reminded her of being back in the hive when everyone got excited about something, and the buzzing of so many wings would make the entire hive vibrate with the outpouring of emotion. Only this emotion was not a positive one. In here, she wondered if David had gotten cold feet, if he had come to his senses and suddenly realised he'd be better off courting a human girl. Vizzy's wings buzzed almost constantly now with nervous energy as she paced to the point where she actually had to take control of them to prevent herself from lifting off the floor and hovering along. Suddenly a flash of defiant thought smashed through the nervous energy in her mind like a hammer. No, David would not do this to her. He was not that kind of man who would do this to a girl. She knew this in her heart. She had seen the kindness and gentleness in those beautiful eyes of his. Something was wrong. Something had to have happened, and she was going to find out what. Vizzy quickly rushed to find Varl, so he could keep an eye on her food and make sure it didn't burn. He, of course, was with Eve, and wasn't exactly hard to locate. And thankfully, the pair of them agreed, but they could see the worry that was lacing Vizzy. I'm sure he's fine, sis. Probably just got delayed trying to decide if his hair was perfect for you. Try not to worry so much, Varl said, trying to reassure. But Vizzy could not shake the really distinct feeling of foreshadowing here. She knew at her core that something was very wrong, and she was going to get to the bottom of it, whatever it was. Once she was sure her dinner would be okay thanks to Varl, Vizzy set off on a loop of the compound, trying to spot her human date from the air. But to her dismay, she couldn't see him anywhere. There were a few Gataclaws still milling about, and one or two humans. And given how late it was getting, and how most people tend to retire in the dark to their quarters for the night, so picking out a single human should have been easy. Suddenly, as she flew over a part of the compound, she got a whiff of a very familiar scent that instantly caused her to pause mid-fight and to cast about with her incredibly sensitive antennae. No sooner had she located it again, her heart soared. It was David's scent. There was no doubt in her mind about that, and it was coming from somewhere below her. Vizzy dived towards the ground and landed near what appeared to be a couple of benches and some buildings. The lanterns the people of the town had set up now burned brightly, but didn't give off much in the way of ambient light. They were more of a way for navigating to the buildings rather than actually lighting up the surrounding environment. But thankfully, her eyes were very good in the dark, thanks to have been raised in a hive where it was pretty much dark rather all the time. Vizzy cast about with her antennae, trying to pick up David's scent trail again, and after a minute or so, she finally locked onto it. She followed it to the edge of some nearby crop plots, where there seemed to be a crate that smelled strongly of him. Waving her antennae over it and moving around in a circle, Vizzy was finally able to pick up a faint trail that pulled her towards what appeared to be an alleyway. No sooner had she stepped into the alleyway than her heart froze solid in her thorax. There, laid out on the ground as if he was merely sleeping, was David. Vizzy rushed to his side and dropped down onto her knees, scooping up the limp body of the inhuman male in her forearms. "David! David, oh no! Please, please be okay!" Vizzy cried as a hard note of panic bit into her voice. To her absolute relief, it seemed that he was still breathing and his heartbeat was strong in his chest. She could smell the faint scent of blood in the air around him, though she couldn't see any wounds or blood on his body. It seemed to be strongest at his neck, and when she inspected it, there were the faintest of white dots in his tanned skin, like he'd been bitten by something. And that's when Vizzy noticed another scent on him, one that she'd never smelled before. It was strong, earthy, almost musky aroma, blatantly the pheromones of another creature, but not human. But it reminded her of something, but she couldn't place what. But this had to be the one that attacked him. Vizzy could not get distracted now. She had to help David right now. And she knew the first thing she had to do was get him to Seven. He'd know what to do. So Vizzy scooped up the young human into her forearms and rushed him to the house that Seven and Visa had taken over as the temporary command post, banging on the door with one of her many fists as she clutched David to her chest. The door opened rather swiftly with a bang to reveal a rather grumpy-looking Visa, who momentarily glared down at her with an expression that said she was not exactly happy to be disturbed at this hour. That was until she saw what she was carrying in her forearms and it instantly changed to one of concern. "What happened?" she demanded, pulling her inside and guiding her through to the main part of the house where Seven was. And by the state of undress and the rather strong smell in the air, she'd obviously pulled the pair out of the bed, and they were blatantly not sleeping at the time. "He's been attacked by something, though by what, I don't know," Vizzy said with a hard edge of fear still clinging on to her voice. Seven's expression instantly hardened and he came over to check David over. "How can you tell? I don't see any marks or anything," he said, sounding confused as he looked him over. "I found him we were supposed to be having a dinner date tonight together, but he never showed up, so I got worried and went out looking for him. That's when I found him like this, in an alleyway, and look here. Looks like something bit him, though somehow it's healed up. But those scars were not there when I spoke to him earlier. I've seen them. And this scarring is fresh, plus I smell blood on him, but I can't find any," Vizzy said, and Visa leaned down to take a long, strong sniff of David's neck. The big claw girl instantly scowled. "She's right. I too smell blood. Sense of smell is nowhere near as good as our insect friend here. But how he's healed so quickly..." "And the unconscious young man." "Agreed. There's no burn marks to indicate an electrical weapon of some kind, like a shock stick, cattle prod or taser. But I do have a theory," Tim said, pointing to some slight bruising near his ear canals. "I've seen marks like these before on prisoners the Brotherhood brought in after using ultra-high-frequency sonic devices to stun and render a target unconscious," he said. "Surely we'd hear such a weapon being used in our midst if one was deployed here. And besides, who'd have access to technology like that?" Fieser said, and Tim shook his head. "Nope. All point to these things is the sound pulse they hit you with is so high frequency that anyone that did hear the thing go off, it'd scramble your senses pretty bad. But for the most part, the frequency is so far outside of human hearing range that to us, it'd be no more than a click if you heard it from a distance that was safer for you to hear it from, of course," Tim said. "As to the how someone would get their hands on such a weapon, they're very common among slave traders, from what I understand. Paradise Falls before their demise at the hands of Seven. So they're not all that uncommon in the wastes, unfortunately," Shauna said with dismay in her voice. "But why use it on him and then leave him where he fell? Surely if the intention was to take him alive, the assailant forgot the whole taking part?" Seven said, and Shauna simply shrugged. "Only thing I can come up with is the assailant's intention was not to take him, but only to take something from him. though the bite has me both intrigued and confused. As well as this indeed is a fresh scar. Could have only happened in the last couple of hours. So there's no way it would have healed up this quickly. And not without some kind of intervention anyway. Something like a stim pack must have been used, but I can't find a puncture wound on him anywhere to indicate he was injected for such a thing. I'm going to swab the wound and see if I can find any trace evidence as to who or what delivered this bite. But I would suggest putting those antennae of Vizzy's to good use. If she indeed smelled our mystery assailant, then she stands probably a far better chance of hunting them down than any of us do, Shauna said. We'll take care of David from here. From what we can see, he's in no real danger. If this is indeed a sonic weapon, then he should regain consciousness in a few hours or so. But with more than a little bit of a ringing headache, Timothy said reassuringly. I'm going to find whoever hurt David, and then I'm going to show why you do not fuck with a Cazador's human, Vizzy snarled, buzzing her wings angrily. Visa shared a nod with Seven before she turned to Vizzy. I will accompany you, young one. We stand a better chance together, and we claws are natural trackers after all. So, let's get to it, shall we? Visa said, making Vizzy ball her four fists and nod with determination. It had taken Click a lot longer to manage to acquire some human clothes than she would have liked, really. It appeared these human people here didn't really have much in the way of possessions, to the point where she actually felt kind of bad for taking what she did. But needs must, and her need was so great that once she was able to finally find some and she could move around in public without drawing some strange looks. She knew humans wouldn't exactly appreciate one of their own kind moving around unclothed in public. So then Click could finally begin her investigation. It seemed that all the humans that had next to nothing had been once confined to a singular building that was on the far side of the compound. Though from the conversations she'd been overhearing while she moved around these people, it seemed that the humans of this place had once been slaves to another group of humans. But then this other group of both humans and non-humans had shown up out of seemingly nowhere and destroyed the slaving humans and freeing the slave humans. Now this new group was staying here and helping to build the place up while also helping the people to not only fend for themselves, but teaching how to them to defend themselves too. Apparently these free peoples are spreading all across Boston. There's some kind of movement. A group of humans and non-humans working together and trying to make the world a better place. Can you believe it? One older woman said to another as they both sat eating some kind of stew that was being served up by one of the large reptilian creatures that seemingly dressed itself up in a large white apron and a big white floppy hat. Click was currently sat alone at a table with a bowl of the said stew that she'd collected from the seemingly happy creature she'd lined up with the other humans in order to blend in. Now she saw, while she was absentmindedly eating the surprisingly good meat and vegetable stew, she was using her incredibly sensitive hearing to tune in to the conversations going on all around her in the mess hall of this shared living space. That guy they call Seven is apparently their leader, and the leader of the whole thing. He's some kind of superhuman or so, they say, another human, this one a man, was saying to a friend in his table. I can believe it, the dude can fucking fly, the man's friend said. Flying's not a superpower, I can do that, Click murmured to herself silently as she turned them out to focus in on another conversation, or taking another mouthful of the warming and rather filling stew. Yeah, I heard the dude can crush people just by looking at them, and he can catch bullets in midair and throw the fucking things back at the people who shot them, a young woman said to an older man who was sat with her. Yeah, I know, I saw him do it from the window. It's just incredible. All the boss's people were just unloading on him, and he just stood there, not giving a single shit, just stopping all the bullets. And then he just sort of looks at them and sends all the bullets right back at them, her companion said, sounding equally impressed. I think my favourite is that big Deathclaw woman that's shacked up with that Seven guy. She's the coolest woman ever. She's strong, she takes no shit from anyone. She's got badass claws that can just cleave through people like they're made of paper. But when you talk to her, she's not mean, she's nice and kind to talk to. And she blatantly adores that Seven guy, and he adores her, too. Well, yeah, I kind of guess it's a bit weird and him being a human and her being, well, a Deathclaw and all, but sort of works for them. And they seem really happy together, you know? A young girl was saying to a young male friend at another table. Yeah, they're like the ultimate power couple. Both total badasses in their own right. But they complement each other really well, the young male said in agreement. Power couple? Where the hell did you learn about something like that? The girl asked, sounding confused. Saw it in that magazine that Joe snagged off one of the boss's people when the daft fucker got wasted on Jet. He let me read it, and it was full of really old cool world old stuff. There was interesting power couple dynamics or something like that. I really didn't understand most of it. But what I did understand seemed to fit Seven and Visa, you know? The man said a bit defensively. Okay, seems that this Seven and Visa are the two running the show. And they seem to belong to something they all call the Free Peoples. But I need more. I need to find out who these Free Peoples really are, Click said to herself silently as she finished her stew. She took the bowl back to another of the big reptiles who was washing up all the used bowls and cutlery at the back of the mess hall. Thank you, the big creature said in a deep resonating voice that seemed to make all of Click's bones rattle as she took the bowl and spoon from her and plunged them into the soapy water in the sink before it. Suddenly Click saw a bit of an opportunity here, maybe to get a non-human opinion on things. Hi, what's your name? She asked the big creature, which by the shape of its body was blatantly a female. The big reptile turned to her and gave her a tooth-filled smile as it cracked its snout apart slightly. Reesh, the creature said. It's good to meet you, Reesh. My name is Clementine, Click said, catching herself before she really said her real name, and quickly subbing it out from one she'd heard from another human using earlier. Good to meet you, Clementine. You like stew? Reesh asked, and Click nodded. Yes, it was lovely. Thank you very much, Click said. No thank me. His beloved husband's recipe. He loves to cook since Free Peoples teach him how. Makes me love him even more than I did before. He is good husband, and will make good brood father when time comes. Makes other Gatorclaw girls jealous that he is mine and I am his, Reesh said, turning her gaze lovingly to the large creature who was actually still dishing up stew to the waiting humans in the line. Oh, so he's your husband, Click said politely, and Reesh nodded. Yes, so get no funny ideas about stealing him away, Clementine. It's my husband. All pretty human girls around here looking at my Val wantingly, and I sees it, Reesh said. But the tone in her voice, Click could tell she was joking around, and the smile on her snout gave her away. Oh, don't worry, Reesh. You have nothing to worry about from me. Actually, I was actually hoping to speak to you about these Free Peoples, and to maybe get a non-human perspective on them, if that's okay, Click said to the large female Gatorclaw. Reesh's smile got even wider, and she nodded eagerly. Free Peoples are good people. They help Gatorclaws, uplift us. They show us how to fight against bad humans who would hurt us, and they protect us too. In return, Gatorclaws fight with them, help to free other good humans, so they can see Gatorclaws not bad people, just wish to live free, just like them, Reesh said happily. So the Free Peoples don't force you guys to do this sort of stuff then? Click asked, and Reesh scowled and shook her head. No, Free Peoples not force any Gatorclaw to do what they not want. All Gatorclaws you see here fight with Good Human Seven and Good Claw Alpha Claw Visa. They want to fight with them. We stand together, tall, proud, strong. They fight for us, now we fight for them. All fight together, she said in a defiant voice. Sorry, Reesh, I didn't mean any offence. I just want to understand. I mean, freedom isn't exactly something I'm accustomed to, and seeing humans and non-humans working together is kind of a new one, Click said, and Reesh's smile returned as she nodded her large head in agreement. We too believed as you did when we first met Seven and Visa, as well as other Free Peoples. But they help Eve, and they prove to Alphas that they are good people. They help Gatorclaws, even help Thundertail find herself good Gatorclaw-loving human to love her. It was good to see, as girl wanted human for her own for so long. She was so happy, Reese said. This revelation really did startle Click, as it really did seem that all the hints of interspecies romance she'd seen and started to hear whispers of all around the mess wall could really be true. So they really have interspecies relationships between humans and non-humans? Click asked, and Reese nodded. Oh, yes. Many different peoples all together as one big pack. It's a wonderful thing to see. Free peoples not care who uses or who use loves, only that uses good person. Seven and Alpha Claw Visa set good example for all of us who come to free peoples. They show us all that is possible for humans and claws to be friends, and more. They show us it's possible for others to do same too. Now we have Vizzy and Varl, the buzzy Cazadors, and Varl makes Miss Eve happy. So we is big friend to Gator Claws, and we all loves Miss Eve. She is good friend to Gator Claws. Teaches us how to speak English, Reese said happily. So it seemed that did indeed have a lot more to these free peoples than met the eye. But it also seemed that they might indeed be very kind people, the very kind of people that Click might be after to help her. That was when the door of the mess hall burst open, and in marched a large Deathclaw called Visa, who looked every bit the regal Alpha Claw that the others seemed to revere her as. She swept her gaze over the room, and something about her demeanour instantly set Click on edge. She was hunting for something, or more likely, someone. Next to her, Click assumed was one of the Cazadors that Reese had mentioned. She too had a very distinct look of someone that was hunting for something. While Visa remained by the door, the Cazador girl began to move through the large room with her antennae swishing about. She passed between the people. Instantly, Click realized what they were up to. While she could change her body, she couldn't exactly change her scent, not fully anyway. And they must have found the unconscious human that she'd knocked out and bitten to take human form. The humans, she had to escape, because she knew if they captured her, it'd be much harder for her to be able to convince them to help her. Click thanked Reese for her insights and slowly slipped away into the back of the sleeping quarters, while Visa and the Cazador girl moved through the rows of eating humans. Thankfully, that it appeared that the free peoples had cut the bars off the windows, that the original owners had used to keep the slave humans locked in, so that she was able to easily jump down from one of the toilet windows on the ground floor, before keeping to the shadows as she moved back through the town. If Visa was here, that meant the human that they called Seven was unguarded. Maybe she could get to him, and maybe she could make him help her. Click made her way through the town. She knew that she didn't have long to make this work. As with the Cazador girl and the Deathclaw, Visa hunting her, it wouldn't take them long to discover she'd gone out of a window in the back and was now back in the town at large. So she made her move quickly. If she was in a chance of making this happen, she would have to be determined. The house where this Seven was located was central to the town, and it seemed to have once been the control point through a bow. By the amount of damage it had sustained, it also seemed to have been the focal point of the battle that had been fought to liberate this place from its previous owners. She thought about heading in right through the front door as bold as brass, hoping to see that her disguise would pass muster and they'd simply let her in to see this man they called Seven. But Click got the feeling that if his second-in-command Visa and that Cazador girl were out hunting her, then chances were Seven himself would be on sight of her presence. She figured it would probably be a safer option to enter the place using stealth rather than force and bluster. So skirting around to the rear of the place, Click managed to find a way in through a window that she could use to enter. Now, granted, it was on the upper floor, but for someone with her climbing ability, that was no issue. Click temporarily unsheathed her claws and gripping onto a pipe that was running up the outer wall, she managed to use it to anchor her mass against the wall's surface. She began to climb, until she was finally in range of a windowsill where she was able to shimmy over and into the window, and able to clamber on in through it. She appeared that she pulled herself into what was serving currently as Seven and Visa's bedroom, and by the sense currently assaulting her very sensitive nose, The group indeed did engage in interspecies relations, as the whole room stank of it. Plus, it didn't seem that they were just coming from the bed either, like she pretty much expected, but pretty much from every single surface in the bloody room. Click slowly and silently made her way out of the bedroom and across the landing. She listened hard, and she could hear the sounds of conversation filtering up from the floor below her. His breathing steady, pulse is strong. Checked his ear canals after we found the bleeding. Fortunately, his eardrums were not ruptured. A deep but distinctly feminine voice said, "Yeah, this is definitely some kind of high-frequency sonic weapon. All the hallmarks are there, but it's odd. It's not like any sonic weapon I've ever seen. So he's either really new, or the reverse, really old." Another voice said, this one male and rather soft. "How so?" Another male voice asked, and this one had much more presence to it. There was a commanding undertone to it that made Click think this was Seven. And it appeared she'd been right, and they'd found the unconscious human she'd left in the alleyway. "It's much more powerful, but much more direct than any sonic weapon I've ever come across. It's both beautifully, brutally efficient, but also rather elegant. Here, look at this," the man said with a soft voice. "What am I looking at, Timothy?" the man Click believed to be Seven asked. "See all this bruising here? This was caused by the impact of the sound waves hitting the very precise spot. This means the sound was not only directed, but controlled, in such a way as to target this spot specifically, as if the attacker deliberately ensured that young David here would not suffer any permanent damage from the attack by targeting the back of his skull where the spinal cord meets the brain. This in turn disrupted his nervous system and put him out, but it didn't harm him. Usually these kinds of weapons are nowhere near this elegant or targeted. Gotta say, I'm impressed by this," the man called Timothy said. Click couldn't wait any longer. She knew she had to make her entrance now. She was going to have to be quick with her movements, and she was going to have to use her ultra-high-frequency pulse to knock out anyone in the room so she could get to Seven. Then she was going to have to get him away from this place so she could speak to him one-on-one. At her heart, she really didn't like doing it this way, or where the voices were coming from. She took a deep breath, knowing that if she fucked this up, there wasn't going to be any second chances. Click burst into the door, and the first person she saw was a large super mutant woman who was turning around towards the sound of the door being kicked in. She instantly unleashed a targeted pulse of ultra-high-frequency sound. As soon as it hit her, it sent the large mutant crashing to the floor. But even as she was falling, Click turned to the two humans in the room, only to find them both wearing power armor helmets. This caught Click completely off guard, and it also explained the odd note she was hearing from their voices. They were like they were both being muffled and amplified at the same time, and this was being done by the helmets, which caused their voices to take on slightly over-exaggerated qualities. She was done, and she knew it. Before she could even begin to turn to dash back out of the door, Click feels what felt like hands on her body, yanked her high into the air and held her there. Most notably is the one clamped tightly over her mouth. "Well, looks like you were right, Tim. Our little friend did decide to pay us a visit. And good call on the power armor helmets. Got the feeling we'd be joining Shauna in Slumberland if we'd chosen to not get them," a man with white hair said as he removed his helmet, which looked strikingly like one of those of the Enclave soldiers who'd attacked her colony. Oh shit, had she made a mistake here? Well, obviously she had, given that she was currently dangling in the air being held what felt like invisible human hands, but had she made a mistake in trusting that these people could be reasoned with? Oh, she's going to be so pissed when she wakes up. She's a fucking nightmare when she's got a headache. Honestly, sometimes I think it'd be easier soothing a yaogwai with a sore head. But still, I love her all the same. Think I'll keep the "I told you so" to myself, though," the other man said, pulling off an older power armor helmet and looking down at the unconscious super mutant girl on the ground. "Yeah, probably wise," the man Click believed to be Seven said. Suddenly, the front door burst open and the sound of buzzing wings and heavy footfalls were heard coming down the hallway, only for the door to the room they were currently in to get kicked in for a second time. Though, to be fair, when V's are kicked in a door, it fucking well stayed kicked in. As both Visa and the Karsdor girl burst into the room, they both seemed stunned to find a young human girl floating in the air for a moment, before Visa instantly made her way straight to Seven's side and embraced him tightly against her large, scaly body. "Are you hurt, my love?" the big Deathclaw girl said, checking him over quickly. "No, all good thanks to some quick thinking on Timothy's part," Seven said, gesturing to the power armor helmet in his hand. Visa looked at it curiously, and then at Timothy for an explanation. "Sound dampening. Soon as I figured out it was a sonic weapon of some kind, I recommended to Seven that we get our helmets, just in case whoever knocked young David out here tried it again with one of us. Well, as you can see, my beloved Shauna here is too stubborn for her own bloody good. Thankfully, Seven is a man of reason," Timothy said, leaning down to prop the big super mutant woman up and to put a blanket over her, as he wasn't able to actually lift her up any higher. "You have my thanks, Timothy," Visa growled, bowing her horned head, but he waved her off. "Ah, nothing the pair of you two wouldn't have done, and haven't already done for me and everyone else around here. Least I could do," he said, placing his helmet down on a countertop. The young Karsdor girl was currently circling Click, and her antennae were waving about her curiously. Her wings kept buzzing in what Click assumed to be anger. "Believe me when I say we're going to find out why you attacked David, one way or another," she said what was definitely an angry buzz that matched her tone of voice. That's when she stopped and drew very close to her, so close that that feathery antenna of her actually touched her. "No fucking way. It can't be," the Karsdor said in alarm. "What is it, Vizzy?" Visa said, looking at her curiously. "She's not human. She's wearing a disguise. But it's so good that it actually gives off a human scent pattern. But I can smell the difference underneath it. And if I'm right, this is something very, very rare. But it's the only thing that would fit perfectly," Vizzy said curiously. "Well, go on then, don't leave us in suspense," Seven said, looking at her. "Well, if I'm right, I think she's a banshee," Vizzy said, and all the others looked at one another sceptically. "A banshee," Seven said, and that's when Timothy suddenly piped up. "Wait a fucking minute. You might be right. They are rare creatures that we've only encountered on a handful of occasions, but I remember reading something about them in the Brotherhood archives. Tall, bat-like creature, could kill a man with a high-pitched scream. But I can't remember anything else about them, especially not them looking human before," he said, and that's when Click let go of her disguise. Her fur once again flowed like water over her, changing back to its rich, deep brown and black colours. Her snout grew back out and her ears popped up out of her head as her face changed to look like herself once again. "Well, okay, you don't see that every fucking day. Well, around here you might do, but still," Seven said, exclaimed, looking at her with wide eyes. "Might want to put your helmet back on if you plan with talking to her, Seven," Timothy cautioned. "I got a better idea," Seven said, and the air around Click rippled as if there was a heat haze around her. But the temperature hadn't changed, but you could definitely feel a shift in the air pressure around her. "Okay. Know this, I'm going to release your mouth. But if you try to use one of those screams of yours on us, it's only going to hit you." He was deadly serious. She felt the hand around her snout, which had shifted and had grown back, vanish in the air, but suddenly had become soft around her mouth again, and she wriggled her nose as she felt it. My name is Click, and my colony and flock are in trouble. I came here seeking help," she said. "Well, you've got a funny fucking way of asking for our help by knocking our people unconscious," Vizzy said with an angry buzz of her wings as she stomped right up to her. Click nodded her head. "Yes, I know, and I'm sorry for the distress my methods have caused, but I did not know if I could trust you. Humans had never been good to my people. But when I saw that there were humans and non-human here together, I simply had to know why and how it was possible. I thought that if I could uncover the secrets of this place, maybe I could use them to help my flock." "And who has your flock?" Timothy asked. Click nodded her head towards the helmet in Seven's hand. People who wear armour just like that, she said, and as one, all of them growled the word enclave at exactly the same time. Yeah, so it looks like Click's got herself into a bit of trouble, ladies and gentlemen. But will she be able to convince Seven and the others that she's worthy of helping? Will they be able to save her flock from the Enclave? And will they be able to get them all back safe and sound? Gonna be only one way to find out the answer to those questions, and so many more. Gonna have to tune in next time. So until next time, this is Ghost Nobody signing off and saying, I'll see you all next time. Oh, and one slight addendum. I do apologise for the lateness of Hybrid Wars. The audio problems I've been having as of late, as you've probably noticed one or two on this track, have set things back. But now I am using new software and I'm using my backup microphone. So if you do notice some pitches and dips in audio quality here and there, I do apologise for it. But hopefully from next week when everything's settled down, everything should be back on track. So once again, see you all next time.